on in person and online on Zoom. That's a great thing. And also, I want to tell you this too, Elaine with Fellowship of the Spirit.
Welcome
also
to Lilydale Radio, featuring topics about spiritualism, medium, healing, spirituality, and the Lilydale Assembly, the world's largest center for the religion, philosophy, and science of spiritualism.
Hi, how's your brother there? And then we have Catherine Maryland, Bernard Buffalo.
This is Lilydale Radio.
Hi, Linda Elson. It's so good to see you on here, too. And we have Gloria from Elma. Hi. Okay. So hi, Kat. How you doing? I want to tell you also, okay, go on Lilydale's Facebook page, like the page. That's where you can also see what's going on. And I just want to tell you about a couple other shows that are on, too. Okay, so first of all, Spiritual Discoveries with Angie and Friends, and we're every Friday at noon. We have Colleen Vanderzijden, Tuesdays at 8 p.m. is Embracing Your Essence, a good show. Sharon Hill has Medium Monday, and that's Mondays at noon. Celeste Elliott has Wake Up to Spirit. That's Thursdays at 10. And then Wednesdays with Willa White, Wednesdays at 10 o'clock. Okay. So just so you know, the other shows, they're all good. We're going to start, you guys all know how I feel about meditation. I feel like it's the most important thing you can do for yourself, the most important thing you can do to connect to your intuition. So I'm going to guide you through meditation, and then we're going to have a fantastic conversation with Elaine about intuition and mediumship. Right, Elaine?
Yeah.
Hey, hi, Christina. Oh, the weather is can you see that, Elaine? Bipolar. Bipolar. Okay. All right. Okay. I think it is here too. Kathy from Pennsylvania. Hi. And Nadia from Texas. How are you? I have family down in Texas. My sister lives in Houston area. So why don't we start our meditation, and then we'll start our fun talk, Elaine. Okay.
Okay.
All right, everybody. So I invite you to close your eyes and take a deep breath in and exhale. Another deep breath in and exhale. And I invite you to put yourself right now inside an elevator. Just imagine you're in an elevator and it feels good and it feels safe. The door closes and you feel yourself going up. As you go up, you feel a lightness in your being. It's as though everything of the earth is falling away and you are becoming lighter and lighter. You feel every concern that you have ever had fall away from your mind, and every emotional disturbance is gone from your emotional body. You are becoming light, becoming light, and you realize that you are light, and that light fills the inside of the elevator. You feel the elevator stop, the doors open, and you step out into the vastness of forever. Around about you is every conceivable scene of beauty and light, and you are a part of that light. You now feel yourself going forward. And before you, there stands a figure, a glorious, radiant figure. And as you approach, it holds out its arms to you for an embrace. And it embraces you. And as you look up into its face, you see yourself. The radiance and power of it seems to wrap around you, and you recognize that you are one with it. And as you are enfolded in its embrace, you feel yourself becoming consumed in it, a part of it, until there is nothing that separates the two of you. You have become one. You feel that oneness. You sense it in every part of your being. You feel yourself now being drawn back to the elevator. You and your spirit self remain unified together. You step back into the elevator. The doors close, and you are still in this great and wondrous light. And you feel the elevator going down, but the light does not diminish. Downward, the light still bright and pulsating. Downward, the light still bright, still filling your being. The elevator stops and you step off. And you are this beauteous light being. You come back down, sitting in your seat, still radiant light. When I count to three, you will open your eyes, still radiant light. One, two, and three. Hey, Lynn.
Hey, that was great.
Yeah, but you know what? That was Penny Donovan's. Penny
Really?
Actually, from this book, Healing, and Penny Donovan was actually one of the teachers we had at Fellowship School, right? And also a good friend of yours.
Right, yeah.
So anyway, hi, Sue. I see Sue on there and Stephanie. If you're just joining us, again, my name is Reverend Angie Hewitt-Apt. I'm a registered Lilydale medium. I welcome you to Spiritual Discoveries with Angie and Friends. And my very special guest today is Elaine Thomas. Elaine Thomas is a good friend of mine. We have hours and hours, fantastic conversations. Right, Elaine?
We do.
and she's also founder of Fellowships of the Spirit School of Healing and Prophecy that I'm a graduate of. It's a fantastic program. And Elaine is also the longest registered medium in Lilydale.
Not the oldest.
Yes, that's important. She's one of the youngest. How long, Elaine? How long have you been in Lilydale?
I first went to Lilydale with a group of friends when, in 1968, we were a bunch of college students at University of Buffalo, and we had this metaphysical coffee klatch group. And as only 20, you know, late teens and early 20-something people can do, we were thinking we were going to solve all the problems of the world. And so we would meet for coffee or tea every day and talk and drop into the Rathskeller, which was non-alcoholic in those days. And one day somebody said, hey, did anybody here ever hear of this place called Lilydale? It's where people talk to the dead and people get spiritual counseling. And so we all talked about it, and that summer, a lot of us were taking summer courses. We found three people who had used cars that were worthy enough to make the 60-mile trek each way without breaking down.
Yeah.
We spent this glorious day in Lilydale, and I have to say, I don't think we met anybody under 70 that day. In those days, it was our grandparents' generation that was mostly involved down there. And people were so warm and friendly, and And it was just a great, fun day. And then in 1970, when I began studying with Reverend Lilling, I started spending my summers there. And I spent all but one summer there all these years, except the year I was finishing my master's degree, and became a registered medium in 1976 down there. Yeah.
Okay. So is that when you first discovered that you were intuitive? Like, I know I've heard you tell stories like about your mom being intuitive, and I don't know about your dad. I think you know on your dad, but you had some experiences with him though, right?
Right. So when I was 5 years old, we were originally from Brooklyn, New York. When I was 5 years old, we were living in the Buffalo area, and my mother's father died very suddenly of a heart attack, almost instantly, with a burst aorta. And shortly after his funeral, when we got back to the Buffalo area, my mother started coming to the breakfast table saying, "I had this dream about your grandfather, and he stood at the foot of our bed in my dream. And even though we were encouraged to speak up, he had already come to me. And he was very magical in my life." And I would sit there and go, "When is my mom going to get it? It's not a dream. He's really there."
Yeah.
And so, you know, I was 5, 6, and as I grew, my grandfather was never judgmental with me from spirit. He was just full of joy and love, and that's how he had been from the time he was on the earth plane. And so the word psychic or medium or metaphysics was not part of my family's vocabulary in the mid-50s.
Yeah.
So, you know, it wasn't really talked about, but I knew that he loved me when he was here. And I just figured he was with God and the angels. So there were times when I was about to get into mischief,
yeah, with
my friends or by myself, and he would just appear to me. Most of the time I felt him or heard him instead of seeing him.
Uh-huh.
But he would come in with a gleam in his eye or with a grin, and he'd kind of look, give me a look. And sometimes I would pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I wouldn't, and there were benefits and consequences either way. And so I kind of grew up with him as a presence.
Mm-hmm.
And then in about fourth grade, there were times when, you know, children in our family were always included in adult conversations and gatherings. And there would be times when I'd be around grown-ups and I'd have this feeling inside in my heart and in my solar plexus, though I didn't think of it at the time that way, and I would have to speak up and tell a story or say something, and I didn't know why, but then the grown-ups would go, "How did you know that? That's exactly what I needed to hear." Yeah. I didn't know I was giving messages.
Yeah.
Or they would thank me and said, that was exactly it. And then they'd pinch my cheek and twist it. And then I would think, as a kid would think, maybe I shouldn't have said that. I hate it when they pinch my cheeks.
Yeah, I would hate that.
That's how it started. And then I want to say when I was a teenager, somebody had those psychic test kits, supposedly, the star, the cross, the circle, and you're supposed,
yeah,
to tune in. I flunked it every time.
You did. Yeah. You know what? I've taken a couple of those and I flunked them too. Yeah.
One of the people who was a longtime healer and medium and teacher from Toronto, Canada, Chris Lechter, who was on our faculty until shortly before he passed into spirit, used to say, "Link, don't think."
Yeah.
And the thing is when somebody put one of those test things in front of me, I was thinking,
yeah,
I wasn't linking. But,
yeah,
you know, that all changed over time. And so in those days, it came spontaneously, but I didn't know how to direct it. I didn't know how to do it on purpose.
Right.
And there was no context in my family for it, though both of my parents were very intuitive in different ways. My mother could have read for anybody anytime, and there was nothing you could do behind her back,
yeah,
that you didn't know. My father there were times, and this might sound strange, that he would be talking and it was like his words out of his mouth were lit up in light. And in my innocence and being naive, the only way I knew how to explain it is God was letting me know that my father was speaking truth.
Ooh.
And that's how I saw it. And it happened, it wasn't something that happened all the time, but over the years it would be all of a sudden his words would just light up with energy and light out of his mouth. And I would just know that, and I didn't have a framework, as I said, so I always thought of it as God is speaking through my dad to me.
Oh, I love that. And isn't that so true, speaking truth? Because when you let yourself link and not think, right, and you're setting your intention for healing and all, that's exactly the way it is.
Right.
Yeah.
I had an experience when I was about 7, 8 years old when my great-grandmother, who was already in her late 90s, was living with one of her daughters, my grandmother. And I walked into the living room of their apartment, and she was watching TV, but she was sitting there talking to somebody. And I looked, and I thought, there's nobody there. And then I thought, well, just because you can't see them doesn't mean that they're not there. And I thought, so she's talking to people I can't see. And then it went out of my head just like a little kid, and I never thought about it until I was a teenager.
Yeah, and then it was always kind of there because then you were doing the same thing with your grandpa, right?
Right, right.
Well, how wonderful that you had that experience with your grandpa too, right? That you had a relationship with him when he crossed over. And I think so many people don't realize they can do that.
That's right. And as you know, and some of you who are on this call today know that, you know, I really believe that all these intuitive gifts, these gifts of the spirit that Western metaphysics calls mediumship, healing, and other aspects of the intuitive phenomena are our birthright. We're all hardwired with it. Mm-hmm. And what I've found over the years is that until fourth grade, all kids have it in varying degrees. When I was a reading specialist and taught in the 70s, I did my own little research on it with my students every year, and because I worked with kids from kindergarten through ninth grade, and I taught kids who were considered academically gifted and also kids academically challenged, they all had it until fourth grade. That's when it started to disappear. And sometimes it would be imaginary friends, sometimes dreams, sometimes, you know, angels, precognitive stuff. And what I found out when I thought about it is what happens in North America and in our education system. In fourth grade, most of the playground time goes away. Art and music are kind of pushed a little bit to the side. And so kids are entering a phase that's more left brain, right brain, and so the world we pay attention to is the world that we perceive.
Yeah.
And so I don't think that anybody loses it. It just recedes into the background.
Yeah. And then don't you always say, like, when you teach, it's more that you help people remember what they already know?
Yes. Yes. And when I was brought up in this work, even though my teacher, Reverend Wendling, was a phenomenal medium and very progressive for time, you know, the overriding belief system was that only certain people were special and gifted, and that if you had one phase of mediumship or healing, you couldn't have another, and that it took 20 years to be really proficient in it. And that deleted the whole belief and awareness that we all come in with it. It's not that one person is special. We're all special. It's just
right.
Some of us have it closer to the surface than others. And if we wish to bring it to the surface again, sometimes that takes training or retraining in terms of how we trust and what we believe.
Yeah. And it's not, you know, I totally agree with you. And because I remember coming to you, because it happened to me too, pretty spontaneously with my friend Sandy, that I was connecting to my intuition. And I thought, you know, we were getting verifiable stuff and doing all kinds of, you know, experiments and things that was correct. And it was, we were like, whoa, this is amazing. Like, we love doing this. And then we didn't know, like, because it's not what we were taught, right? And we were back afraid and we forgot about it. So it kind of made us a little worried, like, why do we know this? And then I remember Sandy saying one day, I found us a medium to go to in Lilydale, the best one I've ever heard of, and we are going to see her. I made appointments, you know, and it was you. and we came to see you, and I think maybe by the second reading, I sort of felt like I was almost confessing something by saying, I can do this too. And you said, you want to say what you said?
Yeah. When Angie and her friend Sandy came to me for their first two readings, they'd come every year, and they were single moms. And the three things that they cared about were their kids, their job, and who was the next boyfriend, and was he going to be the it guy?
And so
they were, for, I'm going to date myself here, but they had the joyful exploration and playfulness of Laverne and Shirley. And they didn't have any serious thoughts in their heads except for those three topics.
That was it. Yep. Yeah, I was very happy that you recorded the readings, because I didn't always listen to everything except for those three things. But then I'd go back and listen, and they were pretty darn good. You were giving me lots of insight and planting lots of seeds along the way.
And sometimes things that they didn't want to hear, oh, no, that can never be true. You know, like one of the things at different times in it, when I read for both of these women, Spirit showed me that each one of them would end up in management professionally.
Yeah. Yeah.
And both of them, to my face, I give them credit, would laugh and say, you've got to be kidding. There's no way that that's going to happen. I don't even want it.
And no, we don't care about that.
That did happen. Yeah.
That was funny. And then we would go home, and on the way home, you gave us our cassettes. Back then we had cassettes, right?
Right.
And we'd listen, and Sandy would say, I don't think Elaine's right about that. What do you think? You know, and I'd say, do you want to hear my honest answer? She was right, you know. But that was so much, what was so good about it was that's the things we were thinking about, but you were planting seeds. Like I that's what I think I love about readings and mediumship, are the seeds that you plant to help people, you know, make better choices or get where they want to get in their lives, right? Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, and the thing is that, you know, there's an old saying, begin as you wish to go on. Mm-hmm. And my teacher and most of the mediums in Lilydale, when I started going there in the 70s when I was 20, when I started spending my summers there, were all 70 or to 100 years old. And the model that they presented along with spirit communication was that everything that came out of our mouth as mediums was about healing. It wasn't about evidence. Evidence was important. And it was important to be accurate and never to make stuff up.
Right.
And at the same time, if our intention and our approach wasn't healing first and then leave it to spirit, what information had to come through, then it wasn't considered a true approach to mediumship. And that was the mindset in those days. And so, you know, sometimes in readings both then and now, there will be a parade of spirit people, almost like the group queuing up in a movie Ghosts, in that scene where, you know, Whoopi Goldberg has all these people coming at her. And of course, they're much more respectful than that than what Hollywood portrayed. But sometimes people come because it's not about so much communication. It's because they're in such pain or such fear or such exhaustion emotionally and physically. And I think one of the most special examples of this happened about 10 years ago. And this young man came to me for a reading. He had an appointment. And as he was sitting down in my reading room, he said, "Elaine, before you start, I have to tell you something." He said, "I'm 21 years old now. I just graduated from college." He said, "When I was 9, my mother and my father brought me to Lilydale. And out at the stump, you gave me a message about how I had been bullied in school and how it was important for me to forgive my best friend, who was just a little boy as well and who ran away, and I was still not talking to him and I didn't want to go back to school and face those bullies again." And he said, "Maybe you talk to me 3 or 4 minutes." And he said, "In that time, everything shifted in me." He said, "I didn't know any dead people. You didn't bring any dead people to me." And he said, "But when you finished, I turned to my parents and said, 'Will you please write that lady's name down for me? Because when I'm a grown-up and I have my own money, I'm going to go to her for reading.'" And yeah. he said, "That's why I'm here today." And the irony is, he didn't tell me when he was telling me the story about those years ago that his grandmother had been with him. But his grandmother came through in that reading and talked about it. And the other thing that he said to me, he said, "I took that piece of paper and put it in my sock drawer. And wow. It's been in my sock drawer all these years."
Wow.
I was so moved.
So amazing.
You know, it's been said by many famous people, if only one.
Yes.
And if that had been the only person I had helped,
yeah,
it would have been enough.
Yeah.
Because it's about healing, not about being a vending machine. And it's just like when people have come, not so much anymore, but years ago, there were a lot more people who came who were skeptical. They'd come and they'd cross their arms and they'd say, "So prove it to me, or tell me where my uncle put, which part of the room he put his watch every night before he passed."
Yeah.
And I won't read for them. I won't, because it's not about testing. It's not about proving. I admire and respect healthy skepticism, but I won't play that game. And so,
yeah, you don't want to be tested, right? You don't want to be tested.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. I love that story, and I've heard you tell that story before. And that's, you know, that's what I remember learning from you and hearing the most was, it's about giving people what they really need, and it's about healing. And that's what you did. Like you, that's what, when I was saying planting seeds, I'm sure you planted seeds with him that helped him get through high school and everything he did.
Right. And the exact opposite of that is that, you know, there's somebody, she's in spirit now, but I read for this woman for over 20 years. Once a year, she would come and visit her kids, and she would come to me for reading. And she had so many people in spirit that the whole reading was like a parade. Loved ones coming through, and that's what she needed. And you said it perfectly, Angie. It's giving the person what they need, and with God and Spirit's help, not what we think we should do as our job as a medium.
Yes. Yeah.
You said it perfectly.
Oh, well, it's setting your intention right for highest and best, and you're working with a higher energy that way, right?
Right.
Hey, Elaine, we have Marty Hughes on. Hi, Marty. It's good to see you. I often ask clients to remember when they were 8, third grade, what they wanted to be when they grew up and what happened. That's good. And we have a whole bunch of people. We have somebody from England on, and people all saying how much they loved your stories, Elaine. so far. So yeah. So would you say then, your intuition was natural when you were little and when you were, you know, talking to your grandfather. So then when did you start to make it more purposeful? How did you start learning?
Well, a friend of mine had gone to Reverend Wendling as a reading, and he came over to visit my roommate and I, and he was telling the two of us about his experience. And I thought, oh, I want to have a reading with her. And so at the end of the reading, I said, where can I learn more? And she said, well, development class, of course. And I didn't know what she was talking about. And I had no interest in being a medium at that time, zero. I wanted to do energy work. I had seen not only good quality work, but I had seen too much of the grandstanding, the great me, you know, with people who thought they were big shots, and it was more about them than it was about healing. And so it's like, I didn't want to have any part of that, but I started my training with her, and I would see blue lights over people's heads. And after a year or so, you know, most of my classmates were starting to give messages in that style of training. And one day I was having tea with Reverend Wendling and helping her with correspondence. And I said to her, is there something wrong with me? You know, all these other people are getting all these messages, and I'll just see a blue light over somebody's head and not anything else. And she started laughing, and because I thought, am I, you know, psychically and mediumistically challenged? Am I a dunce? And she was laughing so hard, she had tears coming down her eyes. And she said to me, no, she said, you haven't put your focus on it. You have said repeatedly with energy and emotion, you don't want to do this work. You only want to do healing. So she said, mentally, on an earth plane level, you've closed the door to noticing. It's kind of like when we say, I can't find my keys, and then later on, they're right in front of you.
Yeah.
I was blocking my own perception. And so after we had that talk, I changed my internal dialogue and my intention, and that's when it started developing.
Wow.
You know, where I, on purpose rather than spontaneously.
Yeah, and that's so important because if you're, I hear so many students will say that and feel like I can't do it. And when they're saying that, it's like you're blocking it because it's right there. We can all do this. Yeah, definitely. So Reverend Wendling, I always loved, I never met her, but I always loved the stories. And I know Irene, who helped me with Santosha, knew her real well too. But didn't you meet her when she was like 90 or something or 95?
She was 83 and I was 20 and she lived to be 100. And she would wear us out in a day. She would just, she was a dynamo. And she came from England and her mother died when she was very young. And she lived with her sister who was 8 years older than her, her father and the housekeeper and the nanny and all that other stuff. Mm-hmm. And their father traveled a lot. And this very dignified, white-haired, elderly lady that I was studying with, it was hard for me to realize that she had been a total mischievous kid, you know, causing mischief. Like when she was out with her friends one day, there was a cart filled with apples on a bit of an incline, and there had been stones blocking so the cart wouldn't move. And she and her friends decided that, but she was the organizer of it, they wondered if they took the rocks away, if the cart would go in a straight line down this dirt hill. And of course they got in serious trouble.
Yeah.
Because the apples went flying and, you know, they were in deep,
yeah,
trouble. So, you know, she grew up that way. And one night her sister had given, their father was out of town, had given the nanny and the housekeeper the evening off, and she said, Edith, you're going to behave, and you're coming with me next door because they're having a mediumship meditation and development circle, and I have permission to put you to sleep on the couch across the parlor, and you will behave or there will be consequences. Well, their next door neighbors were Sir Arthur and Lady Conan Doyle, his second wife, He had been a widower. His second wife was a trance medium. And she said, they put me across the parlor, put a blanket over me. And she said what they failed to realize that what little 8-year-old girl is going to go to sleep when the grown-ups are doing fascinating things in the dark. She said, yeah. And she was allowed to go every week with her for several months. It took them about 6 months before they caught on that she was doing across the room what they were doing in their circle. And then from that point on, she was included with them. And when there were classes, she became a student of Sir Arthur and Lady Conan Doyle's and knew them till shortly before they passed on. And at one point, for many decades, she owned 14 Cottage Row there, and they stayed with her when they were doing a tour through North America. Wow. And one of the things that just is indelible in my mind in terms of her belief system and his, when he was saying goodbye to her, Sir Arthur said, he took her by the shoulders and he said, Edith, promise me one thing. Promise me you will always be a student. And I want you to know, she never stalled out. She was still learning new things to teach in her 90s.
Wow.
You know, she may not have remembered where she's put a certain book, but I'm telling you, her intuitive gifts were razor sharp. They were spot on the whole way through.
That's awesome. Yeah, it is important to keep on learning because you can't presume that you know everything. There's always something else you can learn from somebody that's going to make you better at what you do, right?
Exactly.
So Elaine, talk about, because I think this is so exciting. So there you are in Lilydale, and I don't know how many years it took for you to develop the spiritual insight training programs, which I know that's what I came to, you know, after I confessed that I could do readings. And those classes were so good because they helped me understand how natural it was to be able to do this. And then you did it. I mean, we learned it at the end of a weekend. You know, I mean, I could about do a reading.
Yeah.
I could meditate and heal.
Well, what happened was I had spent 12 and a half years studying with Reverend Munley. And after I met my husband, Mark, we had been talking about how long it takes to develop. And he said, you know, and this was the early 80s. And he said to me, he said, Elaine, he said, most people in our world today, and it's even more so now than it was in the 80s, don't have the inclination or the patience to spend 12 to 20 years studying with somebody. He said, there has to be a faster way. We know people are born with this. How do we get it and speed up the process for excellent competency?
Yeah.
And so we started exploring some of the new accelerated learning technologies that were available and opening up in those days, among which was NLP and other than conscious communication and a few others. And so we started playing with how can we meld those together or weave those together to take the best from the ancient ways of teaching this and the new ways and speed it up so it doesn't have to take so long. So in 1987, we put together this course and we sent out this flyer that said, this is an experiment. We've never done this before with a group and we were totally upfront. Come and experiment with us for a weekend. And that was our first spiritual insight training, though it had a different name in those days. And we had 17 people sign up,
wow.
Only three of whom had ever meditated before. Everybody else was totally new to this, and they all kind of came with, geez, we can't believe somebody would say that we're guinea pigs and that we're going to all experiment, but we're here. And so Friday night, we taught them how to go deeply into the silence and the transcendence with a technique that Reverend Wendling had been given from spirit decades before. And then Saturday morning, we taught spiritual healing with a technique that I had been trained in through her as well. And one little story about that Saturday morning, when we finished, you know, everybody working on one another, and people were debriefing, this one woman said, Well, she said, it was real peaceful, but it wasn't like I felt a lot. I felt this current go through my spine and down my legs. And she said, but other than that, it was just kind of relaxing and sitting in a chair. And that was fine. And I get a call a couple weeks later, unbeknownst to us, and she hadn't told anybody. She was scheduled for hip replacement for one of her hips. And when they did the pre-surgical tests, the doctor said, I can't understand this. If I didn't know better, I would think this was somebody else's scan because there's nothing wrong with your hips. There is no way you need surgery. And I was like, huh? And we kind of stayed in touch off and on for about 5 years. And during that time, she never needed any surgery with her hips. So, and there was two rookies, or so we thought.
Yeah.
Opening up to the God power, and a healing took place. And then on Saturday afternoon, we practiced giving messages. And without exception, by dinner time Saturday, every one of those students was sometimes only two sentences, but they were giving accurate, verifiable messages to one another. Mm-hmm. And my husband, Mark, and I were going, we were whispering to one another, this is really working. We couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
We couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
And with everyone. And so that was the first rendition of that course, which we have refined and refined over time since then. Yeah.
And I remember, you know, because you taught it, and I took it, you know, years after I think in 90, I think is when
right.
And I remember, like, you were just, you know, taught us things and gave us tools which were important, but a lot of it was, of course you can do this, you know, just do it. And I remember, like, doing the musical chairs, we called it, you know, where you'd have us sit across from each other and then have us kind of tune in and give a message to the other person. And it was always link, don't think, and trust. And you'd be, I remember being like, I can't, yeah, I don't think I can do this. And then I would do it, and I would give an accurate message. It was amazing.
And that's the thing, because when we say link, don't think, mm-hmm. if we're thinking about us, or if we're thinking about, can I do this, or is this accurate, then we're not on the frequency of intuition and mediumship and all of that. We're in our minds. We're in our left brain. So when we're thinking about us, we're not thinking about what spirit has to offer us. And so it's the big T word for trust. And trust means we're willing to take that step with an element of faith. And if I stopped to think about what I was going to say every time I gave a reading, probably three quarters of what I would say, I wouldn't say.
Yeah.
And early on, there was a woman who came for a reading, and the reading went really well. She said, everything was so accurate, Elaine, but she said, the thing that I came for the most is not something you touched on at all. And then she told me what it was, and it was something that I had received almost verbatim from what she said. But how could you tell a client after you're done, oh, well, I got that, but I was too afraid to say it because it seemed too crazy.
I know.
So sometimes we learn from when we kind of blow it.
Yeah.
And things like that over the years have taught me to trust even when it made no sense to me. And how do we judge the success of it or the validity by results from the client?
Yeah, and you always said that too. If we show up, spirit shows up, and it's about getting yourself out of the way, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So Elaine, how did you go from the sit classes? And these are stories like some of these I've never heard. And so, how did you start the school? Like, was that always the plan? Was to
no, not at all.
Okay.
We just wanted to show people and teach people, you know, that that what they had had all their life is real, and we could use it in a practical way in our lives. And not everybody wants to be a professional medium, but everybody wants to have a better life.
Yeah.
And so using these tools to reclaim our birthright to use on a practical level, whether it's for themselves, plugging into their, you know, their career. A friend of ours who was an endodontist before he retired, he used to stop in between, you know, bone cutting procedures and lay hands on people. And one of the women in his chair said, "Oh, Dr. Joe, I can feel the healing coming through your hands." And he was trying to be stealth about it because he lived in a small town and, you know, not everybody would accept it. She said, "Would you put your hands over my eyes? I'm supposed to go for surgery for a detached retina." And he put his hands over her eyes, and when she went back the next week, her retina had reattached. She didn't need the surgery. So people use it in a practical, integrated way rather than other ways. So people were asking, well, what about part two? Can you guys create a part two? We want to learn more in a streamlined way.
Mm-hmm.
And so we developed part two to deepen and broaden the tools that we were giving and more information on meditation and going into that transcendence and mediumship and healing and how to use it for themselves and other people. And then after that, people kept saying, "What's part three?" And at first, you know, we would say, "Oh, that's life. Go out and use this."
Yeah.
Not use it so that you're proficient in it. And then we thought, well, what if we use the same process for accelerated learning and modeling for in-depth learning for people, whether they be brand new to this or you know, seasoned professionals. And we put together a faculty from Great Britain and Canada and the U.S. who had been doing spiritual studies and mediumship and healing for years and were very respected in their work. Yeah. And so we decided, let's apply the same techniques and approach in a 2-year in-depth training program and also offer an option for ordination for those people who wanted to do this work more professionally and make that commitment between them and the divine, as well as protect them legally being able to do this work. And yeah. That's kind of from 87 to 89 when we started the school. That's how it happened.
Okay, I didn't know that. So the school started 2 years after. You know, you speak of ordination, and that reminds me, I remember being ordained. And the energy that you feel, like, I like to go back, you know, every year, just feel the energy again.
Yeah, it's a wonderful experience in spirit, yeah.
It's amazing. So, Elaine, people are asking, because I know the pandemic changed everything, right? So classes weren't the same. But I know that Fellowships has a lot of courses online for the summer, and the Spiritual Insight trainings are starting up again too, right?
Yes, they are. We are, until the middle of August, we're going to be doing our courses only online as of right now, because we want to make sure that we're being responsible for people's safety.
Yeah.
And so in August, the weekend of this year, so that people don't have to travel as much, we're combining part one and part two of Spiritual Insight training on a Thursday night to Sunday afternoon retreat format. And done this before, and it's a wonderful integrated approach for those people who've taken part one and didn't get to take part two because we had to put it on a shelf for a year. They can register too, and we bring them in on Friday night. So we've streamlined and integrated the program and done it this way before with great success for the students, and people won't have to travel as much. So we'll be offering it that weekend and then another weekend in September. We've done a new write-up on that. That will be up online by the middle of next week on our website.
That's amazing.
Registration will open for that. And it's real exciting to think that we could do that in person again, because we did a lot of soul searching, and a lot of courses you can put online and still deliver what is our intention for the students. But we felt that there was too much we could get the skill base done, but we couldn't give them the experience if it was online, so we deferred it until we felt we could open up in person again, because we didn't want to compromise the quality of learning for people.
Yeah, which I think you did the right thing, because I know in taking those courses, they are better in person for sure.
Right. And also, we have a mailing list that you can sign up for online. And I know next week, once those classes go up again, that mailing list will get a MailChimp promotion letting you know, and with a direct link to our website in case you want to register.
Yeah, so for sure do that, all of you. And also, and I'll post that too on Santosha's and on my website, so you'll have all the information on there as well. And we'll post stuff in the chat for this too, because we'll keep posting the talk. So I can't believe this is going by so quick, but I wanted to ask you, so what keeps you doing this? Like, why do you keep doing readings, and why do you keep teaching? Talk about that.
I love it. When I taught in regular school and I taught kids, I loved watching the light go on in their eyes when they would get it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same thing here. You know, when I started going to Lilydale as a teenager, the first time I walked through the gates, I realized that the consensual reality that it was that all of this is real and true and just as solid as a piece of wood. And there was no question about it. And it was the first time in my life that I felt like I'd come home. And what keeps me doing it is watching how the spiritual insight trainings, and also the school, but even just the spiritual insight trainings, shifts everything in people's lives. Because it's like it validates what on an inner level people have known or wished for all along, and it's not open to just the few, it's all of us. And somebody once said to me, Elaine, what are you going to do when, you know, if everybody could give readings and healings? And I said, are you kidding? I said, that means we'll all be matriculating and there's new frontiers. This isn't the end. And with all due respect to what I do and so many other mediums do, if you look back in scripture, mediums were understudies to the prophets. Mediumship is not the end, it's just the beginning.
Yeah.
And with great love and respect for those who speak to us or come to us from spirit, most of them are on the astral plane and they're not that far away in their awareness than what we have. Yeah. And so really the ultimate goal is not to have an intermediary, whether it be someone, Angie, like you or me, or some of those of you who do mediumship who are online now. The ultimate goal is for everybody to link in to their own loved ones, their own angels, to the Godhead, to the divine within them, and not have to have an intermediary, and see people claim their power, if you will, and have that spark go on. That's everything to me, whether it be a beginning student or somebody who's done this. We've had people in those spiritual insight classes and in the school who've done this professionally for as long as 43 years.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Yeah. Isn't that amazing? Like, I remember, I think in one of the descriptions or talking something about getting those aha moments. And yeah. Like, we see that and you can see, like, I did a reading the other day for somebody that was going through a hard time, and I just kept going and kept trusting, and all of a sudden she went and breathed different and her face changed, and I thought I didn't even know what I was saying was that was going to be it, but that was the healing. It's about the healing, right?
That's right. That's everything. And to watch those lights go on and that them come to peace sometimes about a great loss in their life, whether it be here on the earth plane or somebody who has died and gone to the other side, you know, to see and be able to be a conduit to assist them. And we all need tools at times. and to that place, that to me is everything.
Yeah, because sometimes, you know, I get so wrapped up in what I'm worried about that I can't see it, you know, and then I come to you for a reading and you help me figure it out, right?
Right. Well, here's the thing, you know, people say, can you read for yourself? Of course we can. If we're not emotionally invested in the answer, it's kind of like the old mirror, mirror on the wall. Do you want the truth? And are your own filters or wishes or fears blocking that? Well, of course you can get the answer for yourself, but sometimes we're too emotionally invested in the answer, so it's skewed.
Yeah, I know. I've done that a few times for myself, too. I'm like, no, that's wrong. This has to be it. So it's true. Yeah. So I loved having you on. I think everybody, I don't know if you can see the comments, but people are writing and saying how much they love this and asking about the classes and asking about fellowships. And I'm excited that fellowships is going to be back in person. Is there going to be school this year, too?
Yes, we're going to have the school this year. We're retooling it because we've learned that, and not completely, but just partially, some of it's going to go where we're going to do Zoom during the winter.
Oh, good.
So we're going to have some weekends on Zoom, and we're also going for only the second time. We've done this with the class that's graduating this year, and they've had from March of last year through this year, almost all of their training has been online. So they've been kind of an experiment for us.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things we've done is we've pulled video. We have video from 32 years of the school. And wow. We have people like Reverend Shirley Calkins-Smith and Chris Lacter, who I've mentioned, and several others who are now in spirit. And we have all this video, and most of them have not written books. So with the help of Susan Jaworski and you and Susan, and Karen, we're editing them, and we're in between classes, we're setting up a Zoom link so they can learn from them.
Wow. That's
so awesome. We're adding, even though we're retooling and adding and using some of those wonderful gems of people who are no longer on the earth plane to teach. And so their wisdom is going to be added to our in-person faculty.
Yeah. How wonderful, like, not to lose those lessons. Those are amazing lessons. Like you mentioned, Shirley and Chris Slachter, two of my favorite teachers for sure. And his link, Don't Think, you know, I'm sitting here in my center right now, and right next to me on the wall, it says link, Don't Think. So we'll never, never not have that. So anyway, thank you, Elaine, so much for coming on. I appreciate this so much, and I know everybody else did too, and we'll have to have you come back for sure. Everybody, thank you for spending your lunchtime or an hour with us. We appreciate it. Thank you to Karen Sully, who's our tech person, who's backstage taking care of things, so we don't have to worry about them, since I'm not a tech person. And I hope you'll tune in again next Friday at noon for Spiritual Discoveries with Angie and Friends. Thank you so much.
Thank you, and thank you for having me, and thank you for all of you who joined us today and allowed us to share this hour with you.
Absolutely. Yeah, thank you, everybody. They're all, thank you. Yeah, thanks, everybody.
Take care. Thank you.